Welcome to Sports Talk with Tonsoni, the Indiana Baseball Edition. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and along with Chris Feeney, Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Carl James, we will be bringing you information on Indiana baseball. Hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. I am your host, Brian Tonsoni. That magical season is one where your team program has success beyond expectations. That magical season is one to remember for the ages. The goal of any baseball program is to have multiple magical seasons. But today we have Chris Webb from 10innings.com on the show to remember the Indiana University baseball magical 2013 run to the College World Series. Welcome, Chris, and thanks for joining us on the show. Chris, how long have you been covering Big Ten baseball, and how did you get started?
I think it would have been officially in 2009. I was a student at Ohio State, and I had a lot of friends who played on the team there while I was a student. And there was a blog started by Todd Lamb, the former Escondido Ohio State. He was in between jobs, and he took a job at the Southland Conference and knew that I knew the team and asked if I wanted to cover the team. So August 2008, going into the 2009 season when I first started. It probably honestly would have been even fifth in the conference as far as recognition and coverage and interest, obviously the football, men's, women's basketball, even wrestling. Since it was a growing sport and it wasn't that far long ago, 2007 with the Big Ten had three teams in the regional. So kind of sense that the Big Ten was growing as far as baseball and coverage, you see the popularity of baseball growing. So figured why not take a chance to cover Ohio State and see where that would go.
Well, we appreciate your work, as obviously we're crazy baseball fans here at iubase.com. But prior to the 2013 Indiana run, you started covering college baseball and Big Ten baseball in 2009. Did you think that we would see a Big Ten team in Omaha?
I did, and I got to give credit actually to Tracy Smith, where he was the finalist for the Ohio State job in 2010 after Bob Todd retired. And he had declined the opportunity, and he and I got on the phone, and you know, he had mentioned that he truly believed that we'd see a Big Ten team in Omaha in the next 3 to 5 years, and lo and behold, it'd be his team there in Indiana. And that did it 3 years to the day, pretty much. But I just kind of sensing that the Big Ten, one reason why I started covering, I just thought the Big Ten never got the coverage it deserved relative to your power conference at the time, AC and SEC, but I think the competition and the level of play wasn't all that off. They had a lot of things that made sustaining success in the Big Ten difficult. Back then, we didn't have the universal start date. Back then, the Big Ten was more restrictive on oversight, what you can do as far as fill or replenishing your rosters after kids leave early for the draft. So I didn't think that, you know, let's say a Corey Lupke, the 2007 Big Ten pitcher to Ohio State, was, you know, that far off of a like pitcher from the SEC. Just didn't think maybe the depth was there. But once you start going to the conference and talking to some of the coaches and seeing how they work, how they interact, seeing more of the players, you know, I thought that we would see one day here in the near future back then that, you know, a team would break through, and it didn't take too much longer after that for Indiana to do that team.
And that Indiana team was the 2013 team, and Kyle Schwarber, Sam Travis, Joey Donato on the mound, a lot of good players. What, in your mind, made that team so special as that breakthrough Big Ten team to get to the College World Series?
I think it's the mental makeup of each of those players. And you guys, that year, Indiana wasn't a dominant team that year. Going to the last series of the season, they were at Ohio State, and Ohio State won the Thursday game. They had Indiana beat through 8 2/3, I believe it was, or they didn't deserve the ninth anywhere. If Ohio State would have won that game, they would at least share the Big Ten title with Indiana. So Indiana, you know, they didn't run away to conference that year. Ohio State and Nebraska finished tied for second, you know, 2 games back. But they got in regional there. Chad Clark at the home run against Valparaiso. And at that point, I think the players got a sense that, wow, you know, we can do this, we can believe. You go back to 2009 when they won the Big Ten tournament. They went to regional down Louisville. They just got ambushed. You know, they just got whacked, and they just didn't look like the same competitive team. So I think once they got that first winner, they're built there in Valparaiso. Regional set just played out perfectly for them. that Super Regional in Tallahassee. They played right to their capabilities. You know, for the power hitting team, that field played perfect to Swerve, just the move in those guys. So I think they just, what they did a really good job was they didn't let the moment get too big for them. They collectively stayed calm, they stayed cool. They did what was, you know, them, and just did natural to themselves. And a lot of times you don't see that, where some teams, they get in their microscope and they, unfortunately, they falter and the pressure gets too much for them and they kind of crumble. But I think that team's the makeup, the coaching staff, Tracy Smith, Ty Neal, Ben Greenspan, even Fred Norris, just a couple of them, they just kind of let the guys play, and the guys went out there and played relaxed and comfortable, and they didn't let their showcase their talent in a way that allowed them to reach Omaha.
You mentioned the Chad Clark home run game. That was against the fourth seed team Valpo, and you talk about how mentally strong the team. They had to be strong to come back in that ninth inning, and if that game goes a different way, we might not be talking about a 2013 team. But that particular game and those series of at bats did show that that mental toughness that you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to that, and it's, I don't know if it's hard to remember or easily forgot, but Valpo's closer, Charles Kowalski, I mean, he entered that regional like a 1.1 ERA, like on a ridiculous 20-plus inning scoreless streak. So, I think Indiana was also down by 2 runs. So, for them to string, I think, back-to-back doubles of 4 on Clark's home run, it's kind of sort of resolve and said, hey, you know, we're not out of it. We know we have the capability in the lineup. You know, we can score some runs here. And, you know, we always think back to that team as far as being, you know, Travis and Schwarber and DeMuth and all those guys. And it was Chad Clark, you know, who came up with the big hit. So, you know, I think kind of going back to that mental makeup, you give Tracy Smith a lot of credit for just building an environment, having a team mentality where there's, not to be a slave, but not to be cliche, but have that never let up mentality where you got like Chad Clark step up in a big situation. So, yeah, you mentioned it. You know, if that doesn't go their way, you're in an elimination game against Florida. You know, Florida was a bit angry that they had to go to Bloomington, that, you know, they felt a little disrespected. So who knows if, you know, they are able to rally out of that 0-1 hole, but, you know, that's not what happened. Chad Clark came with a big hit. Bart Coleman Field went lit off, and I think that kind of set the fuse on what became, you know, the Indiana base that we know for the next 5 years.
Yeah, it seemed like they had some belief there, and Valpo scored 2 runs in the top of the ninth, I believe, too. So to come back, even in that situation, down in the ninth, but then to have the top of the ninth, again, takes a special team. And I do agree that the coaching staff has a big part of that in how you run a program, to have your guys relaxed in order to make that comeback. And let's talk a little bit about the experience at the College World Series. Indiana wins the first game 2-0 on a great pitching effort by Joey Donato. And they actually had 2 complete games, losing the elimination game 1-0 to Oregon State. But what did you think of their stay in Omaha for 2013?
Yeah, so everything that I said about, you know, just that Florida State, the College Stadium, you know, playing true and surrounded their alley, as we know, TD Ameritrade Park did not play, you know, to the strength of Indiana. And we saw great pitch performances out of Notre Dame, Alex Slagers. It's just unfortunate that ballpark is a graveyard before the ball got changed. But, you know, I think the big takeaway from that, regardless of the 1-2 showing, and I mean, those are tough, hard-fought games for Mississippi State and Oregon State, that, you know, here and there hit that drops in, it's a different ballgame, and who knows, they can be national champions. But the biggest takeaway is just, like, I think what can get lost nowadays, unfortunately, is this win-at-all-cost mentality. In the college baseball, it's so hard just to get to Omaha that, you know, there's a reason why we celebrate giving Omaha. It's not the national champion. It's, you know, who made it to Omaha that year, that those final 8 teams. So I just think that week there in Omaha was something that not only the players won't forget about, but even just the university. It really allowed the university that wasn't known for having this training baseball program to be put on the map. And it's hard to take that away. I mean, we're 5 years removed from it, but it feels like yesterday. Just the memories are so vivid, and just the kind of the flashbacks, and probably telling stories of, you guys know where you were when you watched the games, or, you know, myself out of Omaha. So just being around the team, I love that. What they truly soaked it all in. They had a great time. They had a memory. Obviously, they're there to win, and they came up short in that aspect. But I think that what they did was create a legacy that's going to go, you know, beyond these 5 years and the next 5 years. It's really, we're going to look back on 2013 and 2018 for probably generations as far as now. They did something that caught the nation's attention. uplifted a university, a conference, a region, and it is something truly special.
And I think you see that with Indiana baseball since then, getting three at-large berths out of the next 4 years. And now it's somewhat from our fan base an expectation that we make a regional every year, which had not been so before 2013. But also you mentioned just now that it also helped the conference. And we've seen, I think, an explosion of better facilities, better recruiting teams, multiple teams making the regional. So do you think that that College World Series run of 2013 had a big impact, and maybe a little more specific, what was that impact on the conference?
It's a fine line, because it could take years for something to come to fruition that, is working under the radar and under the surface. So a lot of people point to Nebraska during the conference 2012 as far as this new day of Big Ten baseball. It's like, well, Purdue had a great year, a great team that year as well. So, I don't want to discredit, what that run did. I think mostly what it did was it showed players, high school players in the Midwest, that they don't have to leave to go to Vanderbilt, to Mississippi State, to Florida, to North Carolina to play baseball at the highest level. I don't think there's been a huge change as far as commitment. I know a lot of facility stuff, those are years in advance. With, Chase at Tony Barr-Coffman Stadium, or Coffman Field, with how long Tracy spent trying to get that going. So,
right.
But I think the biggest impact was just players, who were 10, 12 years old, seeing Indiana, on the highest stage on ESPN, just going head to head against Oregon State, against Mississippi State. So, whether you're a kid in Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Iowa, you can stay home. You can go to the state school that you and your family rooted for your entire lives. You don't have to all of a sudden go south because you can play baseball at a high level. So I think that's the biggest change for me. I think you're starting to see that really trickle down now. It's where programs, I think, have more depth. And obviously coaches are doing a great job recruiting, and recruiting nowadays is being aided a little bit with how much exposure is out there for different organizations and outlets. But I think it's in the mindset now of Midwest kids that, hey, I can't stay here. It helps, obviously, with Indiana did, but it helps that Illinois 2 years later that they were also national seed. Indiana's 2014 team was national seed. This year, what Minnesota did, I'm hosting the regional and going to Corvallis. So I think it's one of those things that's a domino effect. I wouldn't necessarily say it's the spark that lighted this tornado bonfire, but I think it helped with help. I think the biggest thing for me is just the takeaway of what that is still with the mindset of the next generation of Big Ten baseball players.
And that makes a lot of sense, because in the past, if you wanted to go to Omaha, you had to go to some warm weather places, and now that's changed. And we are seeing a lot more competitive teams in the Big Ten. You mentioned recruiting. Indiana had a couple of major leaguers. Sam Travis has been up and down with the Boston Red Sox. Schwarber is with the Cubs. Slager's on the mound has been up to the major leagues. There's been some players that have advanced in the minor leagues. So if we look at that as quality players, but what does it take for a Big Ten team player makeup to go? Offense, pitching, and how does the Big Ten compete with the SECs and those other dominant conferences? What kind of makeup do you think is needed in the Big Ten to get back there?
I know it's cliche as far as pitching defense and championships, and I think that's true to the degree that that does help you in the regular season, where you're going weekend after weekend after weekend. But to me, I'm always going to say it comes down to you have to have an offensive team. Just with play, you're running the top pitching. You're running the teams that don't cost themselves or give you extra outs. So you're going to have to be a team that can score a run from first base here every now and then. You're going to have to be a team that can run into the ball and hit it over the fence. So, so I think if I had to pick one aspect, it'd be I would take a team that 1 through 9, like Minnesota this year. 1 through 9, they were a methodic team to put the ball in play, had enough power to score a runner for first base, had enough power to go gap to gap, hit one out here and there. So I think that's the ideal makeup of a team. But also, with a 64 team tournament, so much of it is left to draw. I mean, you may have a team that had a lot of power the left hand side, but there's a short pitch or right-handed pitchers or something like that. Just you don't know how it's going to play out and who you're going to face. And you may just have, unfortunately, a tough match. You're truly one of the 16 best teams, but just that night you're going to run into a first-round draft pick and he's going to stymie you guys. So, it's hard to really pinpoint one thing. I'm not more optimistic, but the NCAA tournament, so much of it's luck and the draw and who you play, where you play. So I think really the biggest thing is just to be in a position where you can host, so you can control at least one of those elements. And to do so, that's going to obviously require you to have a good RPI, have 35 plus wins, do well in the conference. So there's no magical bullet or no guaranteed formula or ideal way. But I think the more teams that host a regional, it's going to help more teams keep those super regional, which obviously in terms of the conference or the College World Series. And to me, the best way to sustain success is to have a team that can hit the ball, drive extra base hits, drive runs, and force more so than other teams.
Do you foresee the Big Ten? I think the conference had, what, five teams in this year, four or five teams. Are they going to be consistently, this conference consistently in that range? And do you, you know, what programs do you think are most likely in the next 3 or 4 years to make a run? Minnesota this year was in the Super Regionals. What are your thoughts on the overall quality of the conference?
Yeah, I mean, so this past year, 2018 season was the third time in 4 years that at least four teams made the NCAA tournament. So there are five teams in 2015, 3 and 16, 5 and 17, and 4 this last year. So right there, you know, over a 4 year period, you already have 17 teams. So I think it's reasonable. I know coaches expect this, that you're going to have four teams in the mix year in and year out. You know, even this year, there's late into the year, you could have also added Illinois and Iowa and Michigan, which, you know, you're talking about seven teams that were truly in it, the NCAA tournament discussion. 2015, you also had eight teams who were truly in it. Yet eight teams were in the top 16 in the RPI. So, you know, I think what we are experiencing here in the last few years is be the new norm. It's going to take a lot to go on for the Big Ten to be back to a two-bid conference. And in good years, you can probably see it push 5-6 teams. So I think this is where we can set the Big Ten to kind of settle in this new environment. And where I see teams really excelling over here the next, I'd say, 2 years, a three-year window, so 19 and 20, Michigan returns a lot next year. I think Michigan should be a top 25 preseason team, probably my favorite going into next year, just as far as they return their entire rotation, they return eight of their nine position players in the field. So they're going to be really loaded. Minnesota's still going to be good. A lot of those guys, they got attention this year. Max Meyer, they moved the rotation behind or either in front of Patrick Fredrickson, the Big Ten pitcher of the year, who did that as a freshman, the first time in conference history. So they're going to have two studs there leading the rotation, along with them, Zynga, Jordan, Kazuki, Eli Wilson, and Cole McDivitt. So they return a lot. So they should be right there in the mix for possibly a third Big Ten title in 4 years. We may see a bounce back here from Nebraska. Ohio State's doing pretty strong. Indiana, there's some question marks there just as far as what's going to be like to replace Luke Miller, Logan Stowers, Timmy Aaron. But there's enough parts there that, you know, we see and we can expect Indiana to still be competitive and be strong. So, you know, right there, then you have four or five teams in the mix again for conference championships, NCAA host mix, national rankings, and to legitimately have a shot to get to Super Regional and potentially get to Omaha.
And that's the goal of every program. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. College World Series starts tomorrow. Do you have a favorite?
You know, I'm going to go with Florida. It's just with what they have on the top of their rotation. Brady Singer, Jackson Power, those two guys. I mean, they were first-round draft picks for a reason this past week. So they also have – they know it takes a win as a defending champion. So I think they're going to repeat and – we're going to have Florida, well, or leave Omaha as College World Series champions again.
Well, and I hope that the Indiana fans listening to this podcast, we have a chance to get back to Omaha in the near future. I've been out twice. I did make it out in 2013 and went back just as a fan of baseball in 2016. It is a great experience for the town and all of the colors and the atmosphere of the College World Series. Chris, we appreciate you being on the show. You're always welcome. If you're in town in Bloomington on a Saturday, iubase.com hosts a tailgate. We'd love to give you some food and talk some baseball. So we appreciate you taking the time to talk a little bit about the 2013 Indiana Hoosiers and Big Ten baseball.
Absolutely. And it didn't come up, but you know, I want to make sure you guys get credit for what you guys are doing. I think a part that's helping players see their full potential in the Big Ten and want to go to a Big Ten school. And the thing to get to Omaha from Big Ten school is covered as fans. So either the Baton Network or a lot of individual people like yourselves or individual outlets really take on a team and getting the coverage starts to finish. So you guys saw the growth of Big Ten baseball, baseball here in the region, the North as well. So, you guys do a great job. Always enjoy seeing what you guys have on your website and social media, and it's always a pleasure to be able to speak to you guys. So, thank you for the opportunity.
It's an honor and a pleasure. We look forward to a good College World Series and, again, a good Big Ten season next year in 2019. So, for Chris Webb, I'm Brian Tonsoni for Talking Hoosier Baseball. You can find this podcast on any podcast catcher under the podcast of Sports Talk with Tonsoni. You could go to iubase.com. You can check us out on Twitter at iubase17 and at CU at the Bark. Thanks for listening. Go Hoosiers.